Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lisa Garr. My guest is Dr. Gary Salyer, and we're talking about family constellations, this very interesting field of energy that gets created during a specific family constellation session. And your ancestral roles can show up that basically is what you're trying to protect as a family pattern. Totally unconscious, not even knowing the family pattern. This could go back 3, 4, 5, 6 generations, yet you're repeating it and protecting it just to have that contract, that family contract to belong, to say, I will stay in this family pattern just to belong. I will defend this family pattern just to belong, even though it could be a negative family pattern. There's positive ones too, but it's really interesting to be able to identify, and then you can give that energy back to your ancestors. That's the work of Dr. Gary Salyer. By the way, you can go to his website during the break. You can check it out, which is his name, GarySalyer.com, and it's SALYER.com. You can sign up for his newsletter on the right side there and get more information. You can learn on his website about all the information you need to know about feeling safe to be, to love again, and undoing some of these family patterns. All right, I will be right back. I'm Lisa Garr, and you're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. My guest is Dr. Gary Salyer. We're talking about family constellation work. And Gary, before we get to our callers, I have a question for you.
Sure.
About, you know, do you have a perspective on this around the physics of this?
The physics of this?
Yeah.
Man, that's a really good question. I've asked myself that, and I'm not a physicist, but I do believe, you know, there is an energy field in life. We only see 5% of it. Our senses only pick up 5% of it. We know that you can actually register the energy of your heart from 39 feet away. Even somebody, you know, like Edison, once said that when he was working on electricity, he speculated that humans may have an ability to pick up electricity that's in bodies. Now, if all that is the case, what is there to say that there can't be some energetic way that all of this is being treated in a physical way? How? I don't know. But I do know that the universe is energy. That's what we found out from Einstein.
Mm-hmm. So, right, and that we're all particles of this universe, and so could the ancestors have those, I mean, essentially particles within us.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. Bruce Lipton talked about how the energy and of beliefs actually, you know, gets transmitted into your cells.
Mm-hmm.
Neuroscience knows that we do pick up the energy of other people through what's called mirror neurons, and that energy picks up by our mirror neurons, gets sent down to our bodies, and that's how we can literally download the state of a spouse. This is why good relationships get better and bad relationships get worse. We can affect each other physiologically. That energy gets communicated and affects each other.
And I mean, I can understand maybe, you know, the statistic around the divorced parents and so forth, and maybe you don't see a good model of a relationship and therefore your percentages are a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
But the ancestral part really gets me. I mean, that story about there being torture in the family and how it showed up physically in this woman. And once she got clarity around it, healed. I mean, that is crazy. You didn't share the story about getting the hearing back. Can you share that with us?
Oh, yeah. This was 7, 8 years ago. And I was working on love and relationships, but the woman was losing her hearing. And within 3 years, she would not be able to hear, and she was just getting her first hearing aid for about $6,000.
Wow.
And she goes, do you think we could work on that?
Mm.
And, you know, at first I was a little reluctant, but then I got this message from the field, how dare you limit us.
you know?
you know. So we did it. And what it turned out to be was she had a grandmother who, guess what, had lost her hearing. But because she was always quiet, she was known to be very wise. Now, she lost it later in life, so she could still talk. And out of honor for her grandmother's wisdom, in a kind of a very good sense, she was, her soul was like trying to honor her grandmother's wisdom by being deaf herself. And the funny thing was the very, we did that, and she said, "My ears are itching during the constellation." And the next day, she didn't have her hearing aid in, and she called me. She started to change lanes and heard the car, which she normally didn't hear, and it saved her life. And within a few weeks, she no longer needed it. The doctor said, "What went on?" And she goes, "Well, I guess I should have done the constellation before about the $6,000.
Wow. That is interesting. I mean, you think about it, it unlocks those particles, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I have a lot of great callers calling in. Let's go to our phones here, our wild card line 5, John from North Dakota. Hi, John. How are you tonight? So we'll get you there. Sorry about that. Hi, John. Oh. Hi.
Hey, Lisa, I love when you take the reins and fill in.
Thanks.
Really fantastic show tonight. Gary, I think it's very admirable what you do. I really believe what you're saying is true, and I've seen glimpses of in my own family that's true, and I thought it was fascinating what you said about the SS officer earlier in the show and the children of the SS, descendants of the SS officers, and what happened to them. And I just think if you look at this a little bit more in depth, you can see where what's behind this is what it says in the Old Testament and Holy Scripture, that the sins will be visited on the 7 generations to the descendants of the person that committed the sin. So it's really an interesting parallel.
Well, yeah, there's a certain parallel, whether, you know, in terms of there just being this pattern comes out. The way it was explained by Hellinger was, you know, in the family soul, you have to always acknowledge what is. And there's also, you have to set things right. Later generations will try to, if there's been huge perpetration, in some way to set it right. And the problem, what really was behind it is, so at one level, they're needing to belong to the perpetrator. And in this instance, the SS officers are about as hard of an emulation as you can get. It's a different one. It's difficult to be loyal to an SS officer. So they were also being loyal to the victims, the Jewish, you know, people who went through the Holocaust. And when you're trying to hold a belonging and trying to be like a perpetrator and some, you know, like all those Holocaust victims, that type of radical difference split their consciousness because they can't grapple with all that diversity of experience and the dichotomy of it. It was just too diverse, too much polarity. And by trying to make it better, they split their own consciousness. That's Hellinger's take on it. They were trying to redeem the situation, and it cost them their mental health.
Because it was unfathomable. Absolutely.
Does that make sense, John?
Yes, he actually dropped off, but that does make a lot of sense to me. That makes a lot of sense, and it's a good explanation of it as well. We have another John here, wild card line 5 from North Dakota. Hi, John, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Hi. Do you have a question for Gary Sellier?
Yes, I went and had a couple of inheritance. And I just kind of blew them all. And then I run into this building, a machine shop that I tried to buy that was up for auction by the bank. And I had high bid on it at $45,000, and they wanted another $5,000 for it. and I refused to give it to them, and they turned around and opened up the cell phones, or phone auction, and they turned around and sold it for $95,000. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every time I try to do something, I keep stopping and not doing the right thing.
So did you lose money out of that, John?
Yes, I did, out of all of it.
Well, you know, where I would be looking if I, you know, and it's very difficult to tell the pinpoint without a lot of, you know, it takes me an hour to ask this question, but where I would be looking at is, and who else lost money? Who else got a raw deal with an inheritance? And are you in service of some ancient ancestor or one that you know that had a poor fate with money or a poor fate with inheritance? And some part of you is replaying that as a way of helping them to belong or to say, I won't have it better. Is there anybody upstream, so to speak, that had a not-so-good fate with an inheritance, got screwed out of an inheritance, or lost a lot of money?
Not that I know of.
Hmm.
I'm the only one.
You're the only one. Hmm. Well, there's got to be, usually, there's some replay action. Now, it can be in some other way, but how many generations did you go back? Do you remember?
Well, probably five.
Five. Well, but nobody's had it. Hmm.
Loss of a business or a... bad fate with an inheritance?
Yeah. Now, but sometimes, did anybody ever emigrate from someplace and lose a business or a house or a homeland or a mm-hmm. state or anything like that in the past?
Homesteaded, and it was a rough day every day for them, but they kept their head above water and finally... when they passed away, they give all the kids some inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I never done nothing with it to make it worth my while. It just kind of disappeared.
And the other family members that received the inheritance, did they have the similar experience as yours?
Well, one of them did. He got into gambling and mm-hmm. lost his house.
I have seen instances where people have lost money because they immigrated from maybe Russia or some other, or maybe I've seen it from the Palestinian states that lost all of their homes at the end of World War II. And then they didn't lose a home, but they lost a business. As a way of saying, I'll lose something precious too. So it is possible with, you know, all those homesteaders eking it out, some part of you is saying out of loyalty, dear ancestors, notice that it was tough eking out, a livelihood as a homesteader. I promise you, I won't have it any better. I won't have a thriving business, and I will be like you.
Mm. It's something to think about and maybe dream about before you go to sleep and possibly say thank you for that energy and then give it back to your ancestors and might change things around. It's definitely worth the process. Thank you for your call, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, come on. And the best thing to say, John, would be able to look at your ancestors and just say, this pain was never my business. I give it back to you.
Mm.
Please look kindly upon me when I can have my blessings in life. That's the healing moment. Now, there could be more to be done, but in a nutshell, that's the move that really frees up experience so it can be positive and loving and wonderful and blessings.
Nice. Nice. All right. Well, thank you very much for your phone call. Lots of calls coming in here. We've got West of the Rockies, James, then West of the Rockies, who's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Do you have a comment for or a question for Gary Salyer?
Yes, my family is a Native American,
mm-hmm.
and of course, what everybody went through, and the grandfather on my mother's side got killed, and he was Anglo and he married into the family. But the government was for the use of the land and stuff, was supposed to collect it and then give it to the families, and they didn't do that. Hmm. So mother got an inheritance from the lawsuit on the government, and she's pretty much just wasted it all. And then I'm adopted, and I'm helping her right at the moment go through this, the end part of everything. And you going over this with everybody, and you know, you're talking about frequency with the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. You know, they do all the dances and all that sort of stuff with the drums, and mm-hmm. so I can really see the investment in the frequency, and also the genealogy of the frequency of our ancestors and everything. And you talking with the gentleman just before me of what to say and everything. So I thought that was very informative. And I was wanting to see how I would be able to get involved with this.
Oh, you're interested in this type of work, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I really think, you know, frequency is also part of this mm-hmm. Global warming thing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, just to get our attention is really what it boils down to. And because of the tribalness, I've also started looking into Tai Chi, the energy, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm moving into that direction. So I would like to know a little bit more, or if you have any comments on my family or anything that I've divulged to you. And if you have anything for me, thank you.
Your grandmother was your grandmother, you said, was killed and was denied a apportionment of land, correct? Your grandmother was denied certain land rights. Was that correct?
Well, the grandmother died in birth, giving birth to my mother, and then her husband was Anglo, and somebody shot his horse. From whatever my mom, her memory isn't that good, but she says, which killed him.
Hmm.
But I take it because of the money situation with the government.
Yes.
That he was taken out of the picture.
And then your mother
wouldn't be able to.
Then your mother lost money, correct?
Pretty much. She's pretty much just went and spent it all.
Well, the way I explain it is, if you imagine, belonging is, I can't have it any better. And so if somebody has, imagine you were at a family dinner table, maybe Thanksgiving, you had your 25 best.
We have just a few seconds here, Gary. I'm so sorry. Can we take this call? We've about 30 seconds. Okay, go ahead.
And all of your relatives had empty plates, right? But you had a great dinner. How long would it take for you to put down your fork?
Good
your
question.
Put down her fork, lost money in honor of her mother. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's that she was not going to have it any better. That's mm-hmm. how it works in families. Mm-hmm. People put down their fork in a lot of different ways.
Very interesting. All right, Gary, we will be back with more phone calls after this break. Thank you so much. Again, you can visit Gary's website during the break, Gary Salyer, SALYER.com. I am Lisa Garr, and I will be right back. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm talking with Dr. Gary Salyer, tonight about family constellations. And it's so interesting how these stories repeat time after generation, and we might not even know about them. Some of the obvious ones we know about, but it's the ones that are not obvious that I find so fascinating. By the way, if you are looking for love, you could always check out George's ParanormalDate.com. Find like-minded people there and get to know them. And then you guys can go through Gary Salyer's love notes, and then you get a video every other week and you get some great information on relationships. So it's all kind of working together. It's one happy family. We will be right back. I am Lee Segar, and you're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I am Lee Segar. My guest is Dr. Gary Salyer, and we're talking about family constellation energies and how these energies can get trapped in kind of an energetic field and downloaded from one generation to the next, to the next. Gary, are you okay with more phone calls?
Shoot, yeah.
Great.
Let's do it.
All right. So let's go to east of the Rockies, Eric from Austin, Texas. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
Hi, good to talk with you again.
Always, likewise. Thank you very much. Hey, Gary, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Eric. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm having fun. It's finally cooled down, and I'm like going, I think I need to satisfy my wanderlust, as it were. it's been too long hiding from the heat and humidity. So, anyways.
Yeah, yeah. So you have a question for Gary about issues?
Yeah, I sure do, as a matter of fact. So the 64,000-foot view is that basically I have a confluence of all those issues that you had talked about. You know, I've been through a tumultuous marriage, never got back with anybody after that. There was always money problems, still has been. So forth and so on, you know, just, you know, bad relationships and no community, even being kicked out of various communities for various things. And no matter how much I tried to put the backstory the backstory away on these things, it always seemed to keep popping up. And so my question for you then is basically for somebody like me who has multiple deep-seated issues like this that they're trying to basically get rid of and shift, you know, to their birthright, as it were, to their true birthright. Let's just put it that way, not the egos. What, you know, have you had people that, you know, have had these sort of situations with all these confluences come down to one single issue? Or is it more prevalent that you come to have to take care of one issue at a time with more people, more of your clients?
Well, I don't know that one issue ever stops anybody with any client. Usually, there may be some exception. Whenever there's a confluence of different things, you know, when I'm actually working one-on-one with clients, you know, I'm looking at family soul energy, but I'm also looking, you know, if I'm looking in love and real, I'm looking at what I call missing rights. In the book, I discuss it, that between 0 and 3 and later experience can affect it. Your brain is given 6 templates, 6 rights, 6 permission slips for creating experience, a right to exist, a right to have your needs met, a right to have proper support, a right to create your own experience, a right to assert, and a right to love and be loved. And that, and what's really interesting is those experiences in love, the brain will swap those templates out for other things, like health or perhaps business. So it all factors in. And what you want to do is go find the moment the brain learned it couldn't have an experience, but you'd also and work with that, but that will often have the same shape as the family soul. And so you're constantly feeling into someone's life, doing some very skilled exploration, adding resources, and sometimes there's more family soul energy, sometimes there's more what I call working with rights, there's limiting, you know, beliefs, and it's all one big intuitive field that you step in, and each client is different. So I would say that there's probably, you mentioned birthright, it's both things going on in the brain and things going outside in the field, and together they're creating this experience that you call your life.
Right. Okay, so how would that relate to, say, like the ego and stuff like that? Would you say that that's basically a typical definition of what the ego does or what the ego is then?
Well, I work more with a concept of what I call identity. And the identity is, we usually have an identity of who we say we are. And that identity is always in service of protecting the missing rights. So if somebody says it doesn't have a right to have their needs met, they'll say things like, well, I'm just not very deserving, and I'm just not the sort of person that ever gets what he wants. And they'll have all sorts of stories. Or, I always have to lose. I just have to lose. I can't have my needs met. And there'll be all sorts of fancy stories that support that, when in fact, it's a way of trying to justify for the human part of the brain what's been going on, you know, in their brain since childhood, and they just don't understand what's, that it's not them, it's just some part of their brain, an early part of their brain, that didn't get the full template.
God, that's fascinating. And just one final comment, if I might. You had been asked if you thought it was physics. I think it's quantum physics. I think it has to do with torsion fields and that gives rise to the entanglement connectivity. That might be something you might want to look into.
I have thought about quantum entanglement in this way. Mm-hmm. I have. And interesting you say that. I don't have enough, data yet, but I do believe that since particles can affect other particles in quantum entanglement, no doubt it could be happening in a way that affects human experience.
Well, I think you're great, Eric, and you're going to be fine if you aren't already. I think you already are fine. You just need to be the one that knows it.
Yeah.
All right. You take care, okay? Thanks for the call. It is interesting because you could look down lots of rabbit holes to explain what it is that you talk about, but I think quantum physics could explain it. It's this field and how these patterns skip, generations upon generations, and they're unknown. I think that's fascinating. But we haven't really talked a lot about how to solve it once you do hit upon one of those energies. And you mentioned these rites.
Mm-hmm.
How do the rites provide a solution to some of these family constellation patterns?
Well, for instance, if you have if nobody has a right to have their needs met for generations, everybody has what we call a suffering obligation of love to never have any better than their parents. And what I found out is tends to be that if a grandmother didn't have a right to have their needs met and married a taker, the daughter will marry a taker,
mm-hmm.
or the son will marry a taker. And then they will give birth to children, and they'll learn how to not have their needs met, and they too will tend to marry takers. So there's both the family soul energy and the fact that once it's been handed down, those brains are going to teach other brains, called little ones, how to have that same experience. And I have noticed that certain missing rites tend to run in certain families, and it's a matter of both ways. What we learn in life that we would call neuroscience or attachment science, which attachment theory is just the science of how our brain learns to create relationships, all that's going to dovetail. If you drew a squiggly line of the shape of the energy of what's going on inside the brain, it would match pretty closely what's been going on in the family's hold. And they're like the backup generators from each other.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is so interesting. So that's the way to balance all of this out is, A, becoming aware of it and recognizing that there is a pattern, and then slowly going after these rites and getting the needs met within the rites in order to, and then of course there's the piece of giving that energy back to the ancestors. It's kind
yes.
of in between
and
those two.
Wrote a book, and it was simply called Love's Hidden Symmetry.
Hmm.
Hidden symmetry, that people don't see it, but their lives have a symmetry with that of the ancestors. And you can see it through many prisms, but you can see it in family soul work, and it's all the same thing. Like I have a little backup generator just for this call, so that if the lights went out in my house, it would flip on, I'd still be on this call. That's what family soul energy does. You notice it especially. You can do work. You can go and see a therapist. I can be doing work on rites, and then I'll have them go out in the future and imagine having it better. And if I see after a few sessions they continually pull back from having it better when I'm calling future pacing, that's when I know that there's a devotional issue. When somebody, after three or four sessions, you give them back the rights and there's still an energetic pullback, then you know that in that family, they're going to lose their union card. And then you've got to go do the soul.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have time for just another caller or two in Idaho, wild card line 3, Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hi, both of you. So just, I was trying to put this in a nutshell. So abuse with me in every shape, form, matter started somewhere around 18 months old, and it would go on for years, and marrying being in an abusive relationship. And I've done a tremendous amount of work, and if I was looking at myself, if I was talking about myself as if I was someone else, I've come a long, long ways. But there's just this I cannot figure out, and I think you probably pinpointed it, Gary, with I think part of it was not having needs met, but I'm trying to, because the sexual abuse was on my dad's side in his family, but not so much on my mom's side. And I think it might be, I'm just trying to figure out what the pieces are. It might be that the needs weren't met because I spoke out. They say children don't speak out. I spoke out. In fact, to the point that I'm pretty well ostracized by a number of brothers and sisters in my family because wanting my dad, particularly my dad, to take accountability. Do you have any comment on
that? Yeah, thank you very much. Wow, for explaining that so clearly. I'm glad that you spoke out, and it's probably an amazing thing that you held somebody accountable. Gary?
Well, there could be several things, but there's one that I kind of step into is when you spoke out, you kind of lost your union card. You lost some of your belonging. And so some part of you, in order to belong, and you said, I noticed you were abused, Dad. We may not have a connection, but I'll keep a connection by keeping abused. It may be a way, even though a part of you said, I want to oppose this, I'm going to speak out. Another part is fighting desperately to have its union card, to have its belonging back. And it is saying, I'll be like you. I'll keep the abuse up. I'll speak out, but I will silently suffer just like you.
You mean by getting in the marriage?
Yeah, yes. She was saying that the abuse was still going on, right?
Joe?
Did I get that wrong?
Okay, because not having the close family ties is something I've always wanted, but not to the point that I give up who I am or give up taking care of myself as far as, you know, consciously, but subconsciously I've wondered about that.
Well, it sounds like, too, it's hard to get a feel when just 2 minutes for what's
right.
going on, but what, you know, there isn't a lot of right to belong. There's a lot of right to be abused. And it sounds like you don't have a lot of right to truly belong. And when you don't have a right to belong, one of the things is we have a hard time forming a great relationship, because a we is in there. So when people have a hard time forming a lasting bond, a we, then it often goes back to they have a missing template to have a we, to be able to be a me and a we in the same relationship, because they got too much right to separate. And then the family sort of soul supports, you know, in a strange way, that whole nobody gets a real right to connect and be loved and belong in a loving way. So in some ways, that's what's going on. And you probably got what I call a missing right to really belong. And then the family soul energy is such that no one had that either. So it's a matter of giving yourself back a better right to belong in a wonderfully supportive way, and also giving back that pain to the family. Because those generations, those ancestors from a long time ago are kind of tired of this being handed down to ancestors, and they're thinking it's more than time.
More than enough time. Yes, absolutely. It is more than enough time to give that back, by the way, Joe. I really appreciate your braveness, and thank you for calling us. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
There's so much that is to be learned, and I guess the best way to explain this is through the stories that you've been telling. I did mention that people could go to your website and get a free gift that you got together for the listeners?
Yes. If you go to my website, www.garysalyer.com, over on the right side is a little sidebar. It says Love Notes from Dr. Gary Salyer. And what I've created is some just short little video clips, some from really wonderful experts like Dr. John Gray, Ariel Ford, Paul Carrick Brunson, other people, Sark, and they're short, inspirational, and also informational. So you can have, you're inspired to reach out for love again, or even to have some advice. And I'm actually also having my own little short 2 to 4 minute video clips where I'm going over and I explain these rites and the four feelings of great love. So, and you get them a couple of weeks, and it's going to go for a couple of months. So you get these beautiful, inspiring love notes that tell you how to have better relationships. And I go over the high points of the book. And they're always, you can pull up a coffee, and in 2 or 4 minutes, you've got a beautiful inspiration on how you can love more or have more love in your life. So you sign up, and you're going to get some wonderfully inspiring, beautiful relationship advice, whether you're single or a couple. And you'll just be able to step into having that love that you really want.
It's interesting because on the Coast to Coast website, it talked about relationship advice tonight, but it's the only way to really explain what this is, because the end result is feeling safe to love again.
Yes.
And going through the constellation work is delayering and giving back this energetic, these trapped energies, giving that back to, through the field, to the ancestors in order to feel safe again. Giving back your union card, as you kept saying, yeah.
Yes, and it's all based out of love. Belonging is an act of love. So even when all those people lost money and it looked like business, that was an act of love. Even when they lost their health, that was an act of love. Love really is the operating system of life.
Huh. I never really thought about it that way.
Yes, it's all love, and the bottom line is that love is affecting everything.
Right, everything. So the act of love runs with health, business, relationships, everything.
Everything. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, where can people find your book, by the way?
Well, the book is being edited, and it will be coming out, but it is not quite published yet.
Okay, there you go.
But where they can get some of the great insights are, my video clips that are coming out through the love notes.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. All right.
That's my video preview for everyone.
No, that's good, because it's easier to understand that way. We're visual learners.
Yes.
For us visual learners. Okay, so Gary's last name is, his website is GarySalyer.com. And thank you so much. Just, you have such a gentle way of explaining a very complex topic, and you did a great job.
Thank you, Lisa. It has been an honor to be of service to you and all the people on the call and the family souls of everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Gary. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. All right. We will be back with another fascinating conversation, kind of on the quantum physics level, with my next guest, Robert Williams. We will be right back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM.